For this evening is from the Gospel of Ruth. The Gospel of Ruth, chapter 1, and we'll read this first chapter of the Gospel of Ruth. You know this story, but it's a wonderful story. In the days when the judges ruled, which would be about 1300 BC, 3300 years ago, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of her people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her God. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant," she told them. "Call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. May God bless to our hearts the reading and hearing of this portion of His holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word. Your life, a love story. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank You for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank You that You have included us in that love. Now help us to know the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Help us to know that though we were hell-deserving sinners, You have made us glory-anticipating saints through Christ our Lord. Amen. Everybody loves a love story. Is that not right? You like to hear about other people's love stories and You like your own love story. There is a great love story, a cosmic love story that started in the little village of Bethlehem many, many years ago. Now let's look at just a few aspects of this love story that we find in the Bible. First of all, in love, God often places his people in desperate circumstances. We don't like desperate circumstances, but in love, remember, in love, God often places his people in desperate circumstances. And that was the situation with Naomi. The scriptures tell us that in the days of the judges, there was a famine in the land. Which land? Well, the land of God's people, the land of Judah, the land where the king was to arise, the Messiah was to come from Judah, and even more particularly from Bethlehem. So Naomi with her husband and her two sons traveled to Moab, where there was food. Now, if you know a little of the Palestinian geography, you know that the hills in Jerusalem are about 2,500 feet, but the hills in Moab are about 5,000 feet, which means as the clouds rise over there in Transjordan, a little more rain may come. So it was by God's appointment. But Moab, food in Moab and no food among God's people? Do you know what Moab? You know, Abba, father. Men is from Moab, from my father. That is, these people had as their name the stamp that indicated that they were descendants of the incestuous act of the father, Lot, with his daughter, Moab. And yet there's food in Moab and no food among God's people, which drives Naomi over to Moab. God often places his people in difficult circumstances. In Uganda sometimes, right now in Somalia, there is a great famine and hundreds of children are dying because of lack of food. We have been as much as 9 days without water in Uganda. No water to flush toilets, no water for drinking. We had to fill our bathtubs, but we have on occasions had to fill our bathtubs in anticipation of there being no water. So there are hard times. But remember, God often places his people in desperate circumstances, but in love and with a good purpose. Second thing to notice here is that in love, God guides even the smallest little events in the life of God's people for their own good and for the advancement of his worldwide gospel. So, this event occurs in the days in which the judges ruled. This was before there was any king in Israel. And four times in the book of Judges, you have this phrase, in those days there was no king in Israel. And what was the consequence? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So there could have been plenty of food down in the plains of where the Philistines were. There could have been plenty of food over in the up in the areas where the fat cows of Bashan were, milk and meat. But there was no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so they had no concern for what was happening in Judah. But as a consequence of that, Naomi and her family have to come to that land. Now, while they're over there, Naomi's husband dies. So she's a widow. But she has her two strong sons to her right and to her left. But then both of her sons die. And those are tragic. That's a tragic situation. The only thing she has is the two daughters-in-law. But God is ordering all of these details. And you can trust in your life that God is going to order even the smallest details of your life. So in such a way that it's going to advance your good and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, well, finally, Naomi hears that there is food over in Judah, that the Lord has heard the cries of his people over there, so she decides to go back, and Ruth goes back with her. Now, it's harvest time when she goes back, and according to the law of Israel, the corners of the fields were not to be gleaned, and the farmers were to go through their fields only once, and to leave the rest for the widows and the orphans. So Ruth says, well, I'm going out to a field to gather some grain. And she goes out, and she happens to go to the field of a certain man named Boaz. Now, he was an older man, but he was never married. He was a rather wealthy man, and he was, you might say, the most eligible bachelor in Bethlehem. And he notices this woman that's in her field, in his field. Who is that? It's a love story, according to God's appointments. And he tells his workers, don't any of you touch that woman. And besides that, he says, don't just leave the gleanings. Cut a little bit and leave it in her pathway so she can pick it up as she's going through. It's a love story. For God's purposes are being worked out in the lives of his people. And God is going to work out a love story in your life. I just have to give a little testimony here. Some of you knew of my first wife who went with me to Africa. She was the dean of women there in Malawi. And then she got a rapidly developing cancer and she went to be with the Lord. I knew I was not the kind of person that was going to live alone very well. And I had just met this English woman just a few times. She had moved all the way up to Kenya, 1,500 miles away. And so I felt we needed to investigate Uganda as a possible place for another African Bible University. But on the way, I had to stop in Kenya. So I met this woman and I made this grand romantic proposal that perhaps we could serve the Lord better together than separately. And I got this. Who are you? What is this? And she gave me some very strong objections. I'm very happy single. Well, maybe you could be happy married. Well, are you willing to quit everything you're doing and join Wycliffe Bible Translators? Well, we'll have to negotiate that one. So she teaches Bible translation now. Well, you need to know also I'm prejudiced against Americans. Well, she isn't anymore. And I could understand that. If you've ever seen Americans abroad, you understand that. And if you've only seen Dallas on television, that's what you think America is all about. Well, she's an American citizen now. But she said, well, I'll pray. So I went back to Malawi and I prayed and she prayed. And after about 6 weeks, I got a little fax. It says, well, I've been praying, and now God has given me great peace. And then, in typical African fashion, the electricity zipped. So I was left hanging. So I sent back a fax and said, well, I'm very happy to know you're at peace. What are you at peace about? And so we were engaged by fax. Now, we had not had time to court, so after that, we courted one another, and then we got married, and now the Lord has blessed us with three children. Now, it's a love story, a little paragraph in this larger love story. And we just celebrated our 182nd Luniversary. You know, Luniversaries? Anniversaries don't come soon enough. So every month we celebrate our being together. And for 15 years now, we have been in Africa together celebrating God's grace. Well, each of you have your love story as well. And God has this great story. But now in love, as God orders all the aspects of your life, and you young girls, just be patient. Wait, the time will come. The Lord wants you to be married. Don't get in a hurry. The time will come. And when that one comes, you only need one, you know. You don't need many. You just need one. Isn't that right? And the right one will come at the right time. If you'll just be patient. Because God has this wonderful redemptive plan. And finally, we see in this cosmic love story that God graciously provides for you a kinsman redeemer. a kinsman redeemer. The word is goel, and it's a very special word because even in the laws of Moses in Deuteronomy, if a man died childless, then his brother was obligated to marry the widow. Why? In order to sustain the name of the deceased brother. And by doing so, he would lose his own name. It's the kinsman redeemer. It's a picture of the expectation of life beyond the grave. There's something important about maintaining that life beyond, that name beyond the grave. And someone has to sacrifice in order to do that. And that was Boaz. The one who was closest to Naomi says, no, I don't want to sacrifice my name. And according to the law of Deuteronomy, he got spit in the face at that point. And then he took off his shoe and made some exchange before the elders. And that's what Boaz did. And so we have a kinsman redeemer. Now, are you in Jesus Christ today? Is he your kinsman redeemer? Has he taken on human flesh that your life might be sustained beyond the grave? You understand that, don't you? Life beyond the grave. It's not just life in this world. It's life beyond the grave in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he sacrificed his name in heaven, his position in heaven. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. And the scripture says he's not ashamed to call you his brother, you his sister, because he's given himself to redeem you. And we know that in Africa, there are many people whom God in love has redeemed through his son. You saw some of those faces, that woman who three times was captured by the LRA, that man who was raised in a polygamous family as a witch doctor's son, that one who had to flee Rwanda because of the genocide and is prepared to go back again. God, in love, is working a great work of redemption worldwide. And what a joy it is that we today here in the USA can experience that, just as we can participate in seeing him continue to do that great work of redeeming work, even in the far continent of Africa as well. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of Christ that goes beyond our comprehension, and help us not to lack any trust in that love, but let us day by day know more and more of the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Bless this congregation, O Father, as they work in union together to uphold the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bless Africa as well, and our work in Uganda, that your name may be exalted as the great loving Savior. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.